Hi, good evening. I'd like to take us through the study this evening, looking at unbounded generosity. That's the attribute of God that we're going to be looking at tonight. Now, stand a little to the side so you can see the screen and I can see it too. So, unbounded generosity of God. 1 Timothy 6:17 reads, "Command those who are rich in this present age, not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy." The living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. So that's our focus this evening, our God's unbounded generosity. And just looking at nature, we see, as we just sang in that song, our God truly gives us all things so richly to enjoy, doesn't he? And the next slide gives a photograph of the earth, our earth, our planet earth, taken from outer space. And just looking at that, you know, if you look at all the other planets and even the moon, I mean, the moon is a beautiful, you know, it's a beautiful object out there in the sky, but nothing really compares to the beauty of our planet Earth, which God has so marvelously created and formed and placed it there, you know, and from outer space, you know, the astronauts have never ceased to be amazed at the wonder and beauty of planet Earth and the way it looks from outer space. An object of tremendous beauty. And as we zoom in on the planet, you know, we see this planet that God has placed us in, that even where our Lord Jesus Christ walked on about 2,000 years ago, you know, teeming with life and warmth and so many things of colors and fragrances and all the wondrous beauty of nature that we see in it. And if we look at the next slide, anybody knows what this is? The redwood trees? Yes, yeah, it is. You know, for the longest time, since I was a child in school, and I read about the redwood trees and their height and their enormous structure, you know, I was fascinated and I wanted to see it. And finally, in 2013, I was able to see the redwood trees and their beauty and their grandeur. And you just stand, you know, in the midst of the forest of redwood trees and look up and it looks like, you know, they just keep going and going and far above, you know, and the girth and the, you know, size of those trunks, they are massive. That's the beauty of the redwood trees and the redwood forests and most of them in California. So here we see the unbounded generosity of God and giving us so many, you know, plants and trees. You know, there are about 250,000 different seed-bearing plants, of which about 50,000 are trees, you know, all those different varieties of trees and plants that God has given to us. And flowers, the next slide gives us, you know, I just picked one, but there are 8,600 different types of flowers. And orchids alone, this is an orchid, there are about 2,000 varieties of orchids. Beautiful. And, you know, for the longest time, through all of man's history, flowers, the beauty, the fragrance, and the color of flowers have always fascinated people, mankind. And even today, you know, it thrills us to see the color of flowers in our backyard, doesn't it? Or even in our home, right? And our ladies love to grow all kinds of plants and roses. My wife likes to grow roses. You know, it's nice when the roses are there, but when the thorns are there, you know, it's a little difficult, but it's so beautiful when the roses are blooming in all their beauty and glory. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself, you know, he compared the beauty of the flower, you know, the wild flower. He says, you know, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And I think what he was probably referring to might have been the crimson wild, you know, flower that grows, you know, all over the hillside of Jerusalem. And so I can imagine the Lord, you know, he might have even picked up one of them and just showed it to the people around, you know, and to use that as an example. Even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these beautiful flowers that God has created. You know, there's so many different varieties, and they all give us pleasure, enjoyment, and everywhere throughout the centuries, you know, we've seen this. And then there are fruit trees and berries, you know, and that too is so delightful, you know, the color and the fragrance, the flavor. Next slide, we see, you know, I picked up just one, and we see the beauty of that. You know, those are apples in their bloom, and, you know, they look delicious and, you know, very, I'm sure, you know, you bite into that and you'll see the flavor of those apples that look, and I'm sure taste good too. So God has given us these fruits and berries and all the different plants and fruit bearing trees that we enjoy. Sometimes we take them for granted, you know, but if you look at their natural habitat, we see how beautiful and how wonderful God's gift to us is. Birds, the next slide gives us, you know, and this is the bird of India, the peacock, right? And it's a beautiful, beautiful bird. And that diameter of those feathers when it's stretched out, I don't know how many of you have seen the peacock with its tail up, but the diameter can be about 12 feet. You know, that's really amazing, and it's beautiful. I've seen that many a time, and it never ceases to amaze me. You know, and if you read up about the peacock, there's so much more that there is about, you know, what those feathers can do. You know, there's a vibration, there's a sound, there's different kinds of vibrations that send different types of sound. It's amazing what you know, that little bird can do. So that's a peacock. And then we also, you know, there are big birds, there are small birds, a hummingbird. This few years ago, I watched a hummingbird building its nest, and it, you know, a little baby, you know, came. This is from my brother-in-law's house, and so it was so beautiful to see that little nest that that tiny little bird builds, and the way the wings, you know, they flutter so fast. It's about 30 to 40 beats per second, that little bird, you know, and it's constantly flying. It cannot even rest, you know, because it's just moving around, hovering, and the ability of that bird to just stay still, stationary while it's feeding, it's incredible. But that little bird, you know, it can fly about 500 miles across the Gulf of Mexico without even stopping to feed. And think about that. That's a long, you know, long way to fly. And beating at that, you know, 30 to 40 or 50 beats per second, you can imagine over 500 miles, how many times that, you know, those wings flutter. And yet, that does not need to feed through the whole journey. That little nectar or whatever that bird, you know, eats before the journey is sufficient to carry it through. Amazing. So that's a wonder of God's creation, the birds. And then we look at fish. You know, there are about 30,000 different varieties of fish. And this is, you know, a picture of salmon. And what they're doing here is they are, guess what they're doing? They're swimming against the current. And this creek, it's going upwards. But this fish, they're swimming against the current. And what are they doing? They're going back to the place that they were born. Now, when these, you know, fish are hatched and they are born and they grow, they swim miles and miles. They swim through the tributaries into the ocean, into the wide, you know, they swim miles and miles away from where they are born. But the amazing thing, they all come back to the place where they were born. How did they find it? God has given them the wisdom to do that, but they do. And when we were in Alaska a few years ago, we saw some of those places where, you know, the salmon come back and they have their hatch, you know, where they hatch and all that. So it's amazing. So there's so many different kinds of animals, right? Animals for food, animals for friendship, animals for services, and so many other different things. So in the next slide, you may be a little surprised to see this slide. So this is our dog, Maya, and Torrance. You know, you can see from that picture, Torrance loves that dog. He loves that dog, and he, you know, and that dog, you know, adores him too. as you can see from that picture. So, God has given us animals for friendship. He's given different types of animals for food. He's given, animals for different services. And from the beginning of time, animals have always been used for all these different purposes and with God's, grace and mercy and blessing to mankind. If you look up at the heavens above, the colors of the sunset, the sunrise. In the next slide, we see the beautiful moon. We've seen, the moon rising over there's a creek near our home, and we often go on walks with our dog. And this is a very common scene that we see on full moon days. And the beauty of the moon, right? It's so beautiful. You look up at the sky, you see the stars, the beauty of the stars. You see the sunrise, the sunset, and the different colors of the sky. When I drive to work and I drive back to work, that, in the morning and the evening, sunrise and sunset, the colors are so beautiful. Every minute, that sky is changing color. And I'm just thinking, artists, they take so much time painting the beautiful landscape. But here we see every minute there's a different color, different landscape, perfect in its beauty and glory and majesty, painted by the hand of God. So all these things that we see, God has so marvelously and wonderfully created. And no wonder that Isaac Watts wrote in that song that we just sang, "I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures with his word and then pronounced them good. Lord, how thy wonders are displayed wherever I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread or gaze upon the sky." Now, while the Bible points on the lavishness of God in creation and all that he has made in the earth, in the skies, and given to us, the Bible talks a lot more about God's lavishness on his generosity in the spiritual realm. All the spiritual gifts that he has given to us and blessed us with, far more than any of these beautiful things of nature on the earth, because these are all temporary things, right? But the things that we have in the Word of God, eternal, of eternal value. All these things, even though they are so beautiful and give us so much delight, and God has made them, God created them and he said they are good and give it to us. He declared that they are good for us to be used for our, enjoyment. But the things of spiritual value, of eternal goodness, of eternal value, in Psalm 139, 17 and 18, we read, now I'm going to look at certain, going to read through several verses, and it's ideal to look at these verses in their context. But again, given that we are looking at the unbounded generosity of God, it won't be a mess to look at those individual verses in and of themselves also, although ideally we would like to read it in the context. So Psalm 139, verse 17 to 18 reads, "How precious are your thoughts to me, O God? How great is the sum of them? If I could count them, if I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you." Now, just to put that in perspective, just to think a little deeper about what that psalmist is talking about, he's talking about God's thoughts to us. God's thoughts to him. He says, "Your thoughts to me are more in number than the sand." Now, think about that. Think about that. He's talking about the thoughts of God towards us are more in number than the sand. What does that exactly mean? He's not talking about a handful of sand. He's not talking about the sand on the beach in Galveston. He's talking about all the sand. Now, that is the enormity of God's thoughts toward us. To put it in a little bit more perspective, in one teaspoon of sand, there are about 200,000 grains in one teaspoon of sand, about 200,000 grains. If the sand is really fine, probably a lot more. But just to think of that in perspective, just one teaspoon has 200,000 grains. So think of God's thoughts to us. Is there any limit? There's no limit, right? I cannot even imagine the number of God's goodness and kindness and his thoughts to us, more in number than the sand. And James 1:5 We read, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So there again, we see God's liberal giving. And here we see liberal giving of wisdom for those who ask him, who ask of God. And of course, we know that this is again in the context of what we are asking according to his will, right? If you read the portion. Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation, Selah. Now, think about that scene, you know, who daily loads us with benefits. So when you talk about load, you're talking about a burden, right? You're talking about something that's, you know, the scene that comes to my mind is like you're holding something in your hand or on your head, let's say a big basin, and somebody is loading it with things. And so God's benefits and blessings to us are so much daily that we are burden. You know, if I use the word burden, it's not a burden, but that's what you know, the psalmist is declaring. That's how it feels, that it's more than I can take. That is a number, the enormity of God's blessings to us, who daily loads us with benefits. And we also read in Romans 8:32, the next slide. Romans 8:32, he did not, and this again is something that we often meditate and remember, right? He did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You know, this, we all know, we all agree that this is the greatest display of God's generosity to mankind. You know, God literally emptied the richness of the treasures of heaven for us. God's riches, you know, of the best of heaven for the worst of us, as we remember on Sunday, right? How good is our God? He delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? In 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. And again, another verse in Romans 5:20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. In 1 Timothy 1:14, the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. Now, when you think about God's giving, you know, it's always in these superlatives, isn't it? Gives liberally, exceedingly abundantly, you know, who gives more than our minds or our understanding can comprehend. That is how God gives. That is how God gives us and deals with us, right? Next slide. And the next slide we see in Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, and this is regards to our salvation, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Spirit. And in what way does he give us the Holy Spirit? Whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. So an abundant outpouring of the Holy Spirit on us when we are saved through Jesus Christ our Savior. And John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So abundant life in Christ Jesus, which is what he gives us. Life more abundant. In 2 Corinthians 1:5, we see, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolations abound through Christ. So the sufferings will be there, but along with that, there is comfort, consolations, which abounds through Christ. And there's no saint of God who has ever lacked this. Even, you know, all the saints through the generations, through the centuries, have gone through suffering. We all do, even today, not anywhere as much as many of our brethren in different parts of the world, or different periods. But through it all, I'm sure all of us can testify that God's grace, God's consolation abounds to us during those times our consolation abounds through Christ. And Philippians 4:19, next slide, we see, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So what needs will he supply? 1, 2, 3. All your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, you know, sometimes when we think that, oh, we don't have this or we don't have that, you know, if we take a step back and consider our God, especially when we consider him in the various attributes that we've been looking at him, and even today, his unbounded generosity, we know that God is not, I mean, if God could give us heaven's treasure, you know, that verse reminds us, why will not he give you, you know, other things? No, there are certain things that we think we should get, but God does not give it to us because he knows way better than us that we don't need that. He gives us exactly what we need. Far better than any of our understanding can even try to comprehend what we need. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, we read, and God is able to make all grace, and look at that verse, all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. What an amazing verse, right? And that verse is loaded with the abundance that God gives. All grace, always, all sufficiency in all things, having an abundance for every good work. And Ephesians 3:20, again, we see, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Look at God's provision. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And these are all referring to his spiritual blessings and benefits upon us. And 2 Peter 1:11, we read, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so at the end of our life here on earth, you know, when at the time when, you know, people of the world think, okay, you know, you're growing weaker, you're growing sicker, you're growing frail, and, you know, you're getting to a point where it's a miserable existence, you know, at that point, you know, believers in Christ, there is that hope, isn't there, that there is going to be an abundant entrance into heaven. And if you look at that portion in 2 Peter 1:11, that whole, all the verses before that, you know, it definitely points to the requirements also that we also have to abide in him and give due diligence to the virtues that I mentioned in the previous verses also. But there is an abundant entrance into the presence of holy God. So life does not end here. In fact, it's just an opening to a marvelous, abundant entrance into God's presence for those who abide in him and who are found in the center of his will. May his name be glorified. And so just in closing, I just want to mention that since we have a God who is so abundantly generous, to us, we too, you know, these are shared attributes. We too, it is our duty and our privilege to reflect such a great and mighty and merciful God that we have. You know, and these are some of the things that I brought up, you know, earlier on about the things that we have on earth here. But let's each one of us just consider and contemplate on all the blessings that we receive from God. You know, day by day, he richly loads us with benefits, you know. And I want to, you know, as a personal note, I also want to say that God has been so good, you know, even here on earth, you know, he has saved us and he has given us, you know, all the privilege to enjoy. He has given us the fellowship of his saints to be able to worship and gather to glorify his name. And I also want to thank God that 32 years ago, this day, I said, I do, to my lovely wife here. And so 32 years, exactly 32 years ago, I mean, it's 28 in India today, so it is 32 years today. You know, I made the second most important decision in my life. The first was to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal savior. And the second was to marry my dear wife. And And there's no, you know, it's been a blessed life, 32 years together, and every day has been rich with His blessings. We are growing older together, and we rejoice in God's goodness and mercy to us. And that, again, I know, is God's unbounded generosity to me. I've not always been the easiest person to live with, but my dear wife has really been a tremendous source of encouragement and blessing and support to me. So as we...